Well, good morning. Thank you all for being here instead of sipping coffee and reading the New York Times. Maybe you did that already. Anyway, I want to invite all of you to just take a couple of deep breaths and let go of the week that you've just had, whatever it was. And let go of the week that's coming, whatever it will be. And just be here for a minute. And as we gather ourselves and collect ourselves, I would like to invite you to think about two questions. And my apologies, because they're kind of big questions for a Sunday morning. Number one, what do you honestly think is God's will or God's vision for human flourishing? What do you honestly think is God's will, God's vision for human flourishing? My second question is this. How do you respond to that vision inside yourself, honestly? I have had all kinds of responses to what I think of as God's vision. Sometimes I feel, that is a great idea. Too bad it will never happen. I have thought, that is a great idea. I can't even keep up with my laundry. I have also thought, I have been gripped by transformation myself. And if that's possible, who knows what is possible in the world of human flourishing? So I want to invite you to keep these two questions alive. They're kind of the guiding principle of this talk this morning. What is God's vision for human flourishing? And what is your response to it? So some scriptures that talk about God's vision for human flourishing are these. The wolf will lie down with the lamb, and a little child will lead them, from the prophet Isaiah. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the prophet Isaiah. In Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female, neither male nor female. I'm sorry, neither slave nor free. Jesus says to the people who come to question him, tell them what you see and hear. The blind see, the deaf hear. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. Simply repent and believe the good news, because the kingdom of heaven has come very close to you. All of those texts have in common a radical different vision of human life. It's a vision in which divisions are broken down. It's a vision in which violence is not the order of business. It's a vision in which the earth and its creatures live with people without violence. It is a vision in which reconciliation is the order of business. In fact, I would say that for Christians, the word reconciliation sums up what we believe about God's vision for human flourishing. Reconciliation is a really important subject. It's something that we're going to discuss after church today in the library. I invite every one of you to come and join us. We can pack out the library. We can move to the parish hall. We can go across to the park. Let's talk about reconciliation, because it is so important. It is God's vision for human flourishing. It reminds me of Dwight's sermon last week. I wasn't here, but I listened to it on the podcast. He talked about how the triune God is the Christian way of describing the reality that even God's own self is relational. And we are made in God's image. We are made to belong together, adopted into one family, even though we come from radically different backgrounds that we should never be able to get along, let alone love one another. But in Christ we do. In Christ we can. This is the vision of human flourishing. Well, in today's gospel, Mark's gospel is scholars believe it's the first one written. It's the shortest and it's packed. It's super intense. It's very fast. And in Mark's gospel, the first three chapters, Jesus is walking around. He's healing people. He's exorcising demons. He's healing on the Sabbaths. He's teaching. He's forgiving sins. Already he can't even enter a town because the people flock to him and they crowd him so much that anyway, he has to be out in the countryside and people follow him out there. And people are responding to him so powerfully, and he is challenging the order of the day so powerfully, that people have started to think that he is literally out of his mind. He's crazy. And you know, it actually was crazy to be challenging the religious leaders in the way that he was. It ended up getting him killed. So they weren't crazy for thinking that he was crazy. What he was doing was powerfully in opposition to the order of things as they were. Well, and the thing is, Christians have been acting that way since then. Let me read to you something from Dwight's book, which if you haven't read it, you should. People of the Way. This is an excerpt from an anonymous letter in the second century that was written by someone about Christians. I'll just read you a couple of things. Christians are not differentiated from other people by country, language, or customs. They live in Greek and foreign cities wherever chance has put them. They follow local customs in clothing, food, and the other aspects of life. But at the same time, they demonstrate to us the wonderful and certainly unusual, I would say crazy, form of their own citizenship. They live in their own native lands, but as aliens. As citizens, they share all things with others, but like aliens, they suffer all things. They obey the appointed laws, and they go beyond the laws in their own lives. They love everyone, but they're persecuted by all. They are unknown and condemned. They are put to death and gain life. They are poor, yet make many rich. Christians are in the world, but not of it. So Christians have been doing crazy things since Jesus was here. St. Francis of Assisi, he was a rich man. I don't know if you knew that originally. And he gave up his entire wealth and all of his inheritance so that he could be dirt poor in order to have total freedom to serve God and the poor. Martin Luther King challenged the status quo, challenged the injustice in his time, and was killed for it. He received death threats against himself and his wife and his baby daughter. He risked everything to stand for God's vision of human flourishing. Don Samuels, who's come to our very own congregation, lives on the worst street in the North Side and has 18 years. That's crazy. Except that it is following Jesus. You know, Jesus healed people on the Sabbath and was called crazy for it. I submit to you that that was actually the sanest thing he could do, because healing people is in the service of life. What I am saying to you is that there are times when we as Christians are called to consider doing things that are risky, that vulnerability, that challenge the status quo, that look different for the sake of the kingdom of God. Some of you might know that in a few weeks, the Episcopal Church, meaning the broader church of the U.S., the Caribbean, various dioceses around the Western Hemisphere, are going to elect a new presiding bishop. It's the current one, her term is up, and one of the four candidates for presiding bishop is current Bishop of North Carolina, Michael Curry. He is an incredible preacher and orator, and he wrote a book based on the text from today. Guess what it's called? It's called Crazy Christians. Michael Curry says, sane, sanitized Christianity is killing us. What we need are some people who are so transformed themselves, so reconciled themselves to God's vision for healing and forgiveness and reconciliation, that they can do no other but to be vulnerable and take risks for the sake of sharing that vision with other people. I really recommend that you all get this book and read it. Crazy Christians by Michael Curry. Why am I bringing all that up right now? Well, some of you know, most of you know, I think, that the High Commitment Discernment Team of St. Matthew's is a small group of people who have volunteered to study different ways that local organizations are reaching out to their neighbors, especially neighbors who are marginalized. Because we ourselves have been sensing that God is calling us as a faith community to engage more deeply with our neighbors who are marginalized in relational ways, in ways that expose us maybe to a little less comfort than we're used to, for the sake of God's kingdom, because we believe that is just the only sane thing to do. It's the only right thing to do. And I have no idea where that is going to take us. I really don't know. But as we move forward, as we talk about reconciliation, God's vision for human flourishing, and what our part is in it, I invite you to keep alive these two questions. What does reconciliation really look like from a Christian perspective? What does it mean for God to reconcile all things to God's self in Christ, to reconcile us to God, us to one another, us to our own selves, and us to the planet? And secondly, what is our response to that vision? Are we willing to take some risks, to get a little more vulnerable, to be ordinary people like the Christians in the second century who are in this world, but not of it? May God lead us to be so reconciled, so transformed, so healed ourselves that we can't not share that with our neighbors. Amen.